The Lord may be pleased to help us. For a little time this morning, I desire to direct your attention to the part chapter we read together, which was Ezekiel chapter 34 and verse 15 for a text. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will feed my flock. Of course, before this can happen, my dear friends, there are certain preliminaries that have to take place. A flock cannot be fed until it is in existence. Nor can a flock be fed until all the scattered ones are gathered and brought together. And yet you remember that we read that the Lord says that he will seek his sheep. We do not know where the sheep are always, do we? We do not know where the dead elect are. We do not know where those whom the Lord has in and does intend to bring. We sometimes sing, do we not, that the vilest sinner out of the hell that lives to feel his need is welcomed to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. You remember when Jesus Christ was here below that the word says that he must needs go through Samaria for the sake of one. Sometimes those of us who are preachers of the gospel, we are criticized for travelling so many miles to preach to the twos and the threes. My dear friends, I do not suggest to you this morning that it is ideal, but they need the word just as much as you and I need the word. And so, dear friends, when we think of what our Saviour did, he went via Samaria for the sake of one. And who did he meet, dear friend, when he got there? A woman at a well. Samaritan, we are told, that was her nationality. Sinful, we are told, for she had had five husbands. An adulteress, doubtlessly. Solitary woman, we are told, because being the sinful woman she was, she came at a time to draw water when there were few people about. Doubtlessly, she was ashamed of herself. Sinners ought to be ashamed of themselves. But, my dear friends, we read also in the gospel concerning this woman that she was a saved woman because she had a testimony. The testimony the Lord Jesus Christ had given her. Come, see a man that hath told me all things that ever I did. And this is what happens, you see, my friend, when Christ brings his sheep in, when he has sought them, when he has called them, then he begins to speak to them. We might just cite another gospel parable of that parable we read of the shepherd that had had 100 sheep and he had lost one. He had got 99. He'd got these 99 standing upon the hilltop or the hillside. Surely he would have to consider whether the risk in leaving the 99. You know what the world say, a bird in the hand is worth two in the bush. So would it be practical for him to leave 99? There may well be thieves and robbers, wolves and bears. Would it not be a great risk to go all that way to hunt, to seek, to find the one. Yes, the shepherd realizes, my dear friend, that it is worth saving one. One whose name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. They must be brought. All the sheep, or as some in books say, every sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. Perhaps there is a word here this morning for the preacher, dear friend. I may not find the sheep. The preachers do not know where they are. They preach to those to whom they are presented with. But, dear friend, it is not enough just to find the sheep, is it? They must be delivered. They must be fed. And so we notice here in our text this morning a word of description. It describes the Lord's people as a separate people. Separate from sinners. Not ravening wolves. Not crafty foxes. Not vicious like lions. But a gentle people. Often, you see, we notice the nature of sheep is that they are timid and gentle and have no guile, trembling and weak. They're not like the world's goats that we read will be found on the left hand of God and not upon his right hand. And we read also, and we're going to sing about it in that 199th hymn at the end of the service, they are prone to wander as well. Have you ever seen sheep find a hole in a fence or a hole in a field, in a hedge? One gets through and they'll follow the lot. And my dear friends, you know how easy it is for you and me to wander. Perhaps I've said this before, but you know it wouldn't need very much this morning for any of us to be prone to wonder. Did you notice that bee or whatever it was just come past the pulpit? It took my eye. I began to look at it, friend, and I suppose if it had started buzzing round my face, I would have had wondering thoughts and, well, is it going to sting me or not? So easy to wander, isn't it? And then there is a collective word here. I will feed my sheep. It doesn't say that I will feed them one by one, no. For, dear friends, remember the Lord has got only one flock. Ah, but you say, there are so many denominations. One church, one Lord, one baptism. Friend, and I come here to say, in at this point, to say, well, denominations are sin, aren't they, really? Because it may be that in so many denominations they have a little of the truth, a part of the truth. But very few have the whole truth. And dear friend, there would be no need for denominations, you see, if sin had not entered into the world, if man had not tried to justify himself and to seek his own righteousness. I will feed my sheep. Is there not also here a word of discrimination? It's a sweet word to me. My sheep. It's personal, friend. Has the Lord ever dealt with you? Has he ever fed you? Has he brought you into a knowledge of himself? Not the devil's flock. He will not feel that. He will not feed them. Or the devil's flock may flee upon every high mountain. But the Lord's people, they dwell together in flocks. When did they come, friend, to a knowledge of him? Oh, dear friend, history has revealed this to them in their own experiences. But we believe every one of them were chosen ere time began. Long before time began, they were a part of his plan. What does Isaiah say concerning this friend? I believe it is in the 40th chapter of Isaiah and at verse 11. He says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young." Does this not denote to you and me, my friend, that Jesus has a flock? Every shepherd has a flock. If a shepherd had not a flock, then he couldn't feed them, could he? But Christ's flock is a little flock. For what did Jesus say whilst here below? "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There are vast multitudes in this world who are not among the flocks of Christ. Have you seen the people on market day, my dear friends, flocking around the stalls? But I say, how few, very few, who have come to a knowledge of God. Many have stony hearts. Many deny the truth of God. Many have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. And then you see, dear friend, Christ's flock are a marked flock. Have you been on market day, dear friend, and looked into the pens to see sheep that are being ready, prepared for sale? They have a mark upon them. Have you got that mark, friend? That precious blood of Jesus Christ that he shed for his own people. "Fear not, little flock, it is your Father's good pleasure. I will feed my sheep." I believe, dear friend, that this is also a word of consolation. But when the Lord says that he will feed his sheep, dear friend, does it not denote to you and to me that he will supply our every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus? We may run short, dear friends, the garment may be worn out and threadbare, but he will replace it. He will provide another. We shall prove that as our days shall our strength shall be, we shall prove that our shoes shall be iron and brass. He has promised, "My shepherd shall supply my need." Dear friend, is there not one of us here this morning who can say that they've never been provided for? Why, he will feed them, friend. And you know, I believe what good fare the Lord has fed his people with in these days of affluence and prosperity. We talk here of natural things for a moment. How highly favoured we are. But you see, when the Lord is dealing with his people, when the Lord is feeding his sheep, he will feed them with high doctrine, with sweet encouragements. What are the high doctrines, dear friend, in the Word of God? Well, we believe the doctrine of election is one. That his people, he has called them. We did not choose him. And if we did, friend, we only chose him in return. Then there are those sweet encouragements that he has given in his word. He has come to us betimes with gentle notes of warning. He has said, "My sheep, hear my voice." Have you heard it, friend? Have you heard him speaking to you in echoes loud and clear? Have you ignored it? I know them, he says. That is a word of gentle warning. And he says, they follow me. Have you followed him in his appointed ways? Have you committed your life, dear friend, your talents, your all to him? Oh, he is a good master to serve. I will feed my sheep. I will. Oh, I find here, friend, is a word of assurance. You know these sheep that are often, so often prone to wander. These sheep, dear friends, that have their doubts and fears like you and I do. I believe at times we need these words of assurance brought unto us. For God says, I will. I will. I will. He'll do it. I will. Yes, we read this and would have read it more of these exhortations if we'd read the whole of the chapter, you see. This is something positive. There is no hesitation here. What the Lord has promised to do for his people, he will do. And after all, we sometimes sing, don't we, concerning the shells and the wills of the word of God, that they are as firm as the everlasting hills. Oh, I believe, dear friends, that the shells and the wills of the word of God are the very marrow of the gospel. You take away the shells and the wills from the word of God, and you put there an if, or a but, or a peradventure, or a maybe. Oh, what a desolate appearance it gives. But if you hear Jehovah assuring you that he will do this for you. But you say, well, are not some of the flock lost? Have not some of the flock wandered so far from God? Oh, dear friend, if they're his people, he will seek them and he will bring them back. Some may have backslidden. For if he does not bring them back, dear friend, he cannot feed them. He'll only feed them whilst they're brought back. He'll feed them with suitable food for them. Ah, but is there one this morning who is feeling after proud flesh? I will not come back. I will not be under restraint. I will not go back. Isn't it amazing, you know, when you sometimes speak to people who have a religion, I'll put it no more than that, who have a religion, and you begin to question them about their religion, and they begin to blame everybody else but themselves. I'm not going to say, dear friend, that some of the things that they may say are not justifiable and true. Maybe some have been driven away by legal preachers. Maybe some have been driven away by their doubts and their fears. Oh, but dear friend, when the Lord brings them back, they'll have their old comforts back. They'll have those things that the Lord has promised to his people. What are those old comforts? I do hope that within our number this morning, that there in each heart there is such a thing. Our joy, our peace, our hope, our blessings. The Lord feeds his people with such, he gives them. Ah, but some say, I am lame and cannot walk. Then the Lord says, I will heal them. I'll bring them by a way that they have not known. Ah, but some are diseased and weak, one may say. Dear friend, they have a disease that is common to sheep, you know. Have you got that disease? Do you see, dear friends, in your life that that is so? Ah, but dear friend, I care not how diseased and weak they may be. For if they're among the Lord's people, they will be healed, they will be brought back. For it is not possible that a hair of heaven can ever be lost. I'm old fashioned enough to believe, you know, that once in him forever, thus the eternal covenant stands. You may even be like David in the paw of the bear. What a dangerous position that would be for David's life. But the Lord will snatch you out and deliver you, bring you out of it, cause you to testify of his great deliverance for his people. Maybe some feel that they're in the jaws of hell, but have hope in God's word. He cannot fail. What he says shall come to pass. I will feed my sheep. Here is a word of divinity, my dear friend. Who says I will? Now, if I brought this morning a book with me that was not the Bible, a book that had been written by man or a woman, and I kept reading out of that book and kept saying, this person kept saying, I will and I will and I will and I'll do this, we would think perhaps it was boasting, and it may well be. But when God says that he will do it, friend, have no doubt, have no fear, for it will come to pass. He will banish every fear, he will remove every doubt. Now quickly, very quickly, the last clause of the verse, I will cause them to lie down. Well, you see, not only will he feed his sheep, here is further blessing to make amends for the harshness of the shepherds. Oh, if time had permitted this morning, we might have been able to say something about what the chapter recorded about those shepherds who were feeding themselves, not feeding the flock, were in the position for what they could get out of it, and for not for the benefit of the sheep. But time will not permit. I will cause them to lie down. Further blessing, my friend, to comfort the Lord's people for the harshness of the shepherds. You see, some shepherds will never let their flock lie down, or permit them to lie down. They're drive, drive, drive. Some are legal preachers. Dear friend, we want no legality from our pulpits, do we? When the Lord reveals his loving kindness, when the Lord reveals his face to his people, dear friend, he will banish every fear and every doubt. I will cause them to lie down. Now, I suppose as you've been riding around the countryside in past days, you have seen flocks, whether it be cattle or sheep, laying down in the pasture. Maybe on such nice summer days we've experienced this week. I wonder if a thought has ever gone into your head why they're laid down. Why are they not tearing up and down the field? Or bellowing? Or baaing as sheep do? Because, friend, if they are laid down, then they are contented, they are satisfied, they are well filled, they are well fed. So this is what the Lord says he will do with his people. He will cause them to lie down. You see, God's people will get fed by hook or by crook. Oh yes, the Lord will feed his people. So when people say to me that I moved to such and such a place in the country, and you know they don't preach the gospel there, but I like to go to chapel. Friend, we're not to sit under rubbish. We're not to sit under things that will not feed us. We're to sit under those things where our souls may be fed. Now lastly and quickly, I want to say, there are another flock who never get fed. That is the devil's flock. The only things that they get fed on, my dear friend, are husks. This world's vanity and pride. You see, the devil will only feed his flock on charm and pretense. He never causes them to lie down. They can't. Because their sins will give them no peace. Or is there one in our midst this morning who feels their sinnership, yet has never confessed it, never told the Lord that they need his protection, his feeding, his love? Well, the Lord has brought you under the sound of the gospel this morning. I do pray that you may, by the grace of God, be given grace to repent, to seek him while he is to be found. And I believe, dear friend, by and by he will cause you to lie down in pastures green and to walk beside the still waters. Sinner, trust him. You will have no real fear. May the Lord bless these remarks. Amen.